I'm very happy now to welcome Azeneth Kepler. She is running for mayor of the city of Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you for having me.
So, as we just talked about with David Koss, a lot of jobs have been lost in Santa Fe over the last few years. What do you do to create jobs, create new jobs?
Well, we differ in terms of how we're going to fund and jumpstart the jobs program here. The mayor has suggested that we can unroll and support 4,000 jobs in the next 4 years based largely on funding from taxpayer dollars. I believe that at this point in our history that that is unrealistic and that we must go directly to the public sector, the private sector, as the first step, and then look to some public funding in an auxiliary or supplementary basis.
So how do you go to the private sector?
We have a plan to go out and vigorously recruit new businesses to the city of Santa Fe. I mean, we really want to continue to support our existing businesses and strengthen them as well as we can. However, it's important to diversify our economic base, and we think that by going out across the nation and maybe even to Europe, we can look and see what entities, what industries might be interested in coming here, so long as they are environmentally compatible with the city of Santa Fe and also have an interest in sort of melding into our cultural base and hiring local people.
Specifically, what kinds of businesses or outside groups would you think about attracting?
Technology is one. We understand there are many businesses now in California that, you know, California's economy is very, very shaky right now as a state. And
that's because we've taken over all their film business.
Well, we might want to bring their tech business here, too. But there are businesses, small businesses, that we understand would be happy to relocate to an economically friendlier environment. And we will work closely with the state economic development people and the city economic development people to craft incentives to bring them here. And one of the points I wanted to make is that when I was serving as city manager, we had an economic development department that was at the top of the chart in terms of priority and, in terms of vision for the city, because we really had committed to strengthening our middle class through job creation and through working with the schools to provide appropriate curriculum for those entering the job market. Unfortunately, after my time was up at the city, that department was dismantled and put as a division under the Affordable Housing Department, and it has, in my opinion, languished there ever since. So what our administration would bring to the office is a renewed emphasis on economic development with a driver through the private sector, which is what we intended to do even when the recession was not the specter that it is now.
What kind of incentives do you have to offer private companies, private industries from other states, from other places, for them to want to relocate here or to locate here?
As I understand it, and I've been talking to technical staff, there are some tax benefits that we can give young companies or new companies. There are also some practical assistance that we can provide to make their location and setup here easier. There are some pieces of property that we've had in industrial parks that we need to revisit to see if providing a location and a good facility at a reasonable or reduced rate to begin with would be appropriate, understanding that the quid pro quo would be that these entities would be hiring local people and helping us to jumpstart our job market here.
It's also tricky to have that match between the industries you're bringing in and the workforce we have here. So if you
Yes.
lose jobs in construction, they may or may not fit into, for example, a high-tech company.
That's right. But if you'll remember, at one point we had an Intel training program that was very successful. And My recollection is that there was one either here at this community college or down in Albuquerque, and it's been quite a while. But the company actually helped create the curriculum and told us what they were looking for in terms of workforce. And so we worked hand in glove with the company and the educational institutions to provide the proper training and certification processes so that there would be confidence in the businesses that the workforce they were hiring would be prepared. And we're going to have to continue to do that. It's not going to happen overnight, but the fact is that if we want long-term sustainable economic development here and growth in the job market here, we cannot be dependent on taxpayer dollars to fund that. And my opponent's plan, the incumbent, it has a price tag of about $80,000 a job with it, most of which, as I read the plan, is going to be funded either with city money, federal stimulus money, or money from neighboring entities that would partner with us. But we're all hurting so badly in terms of tax base. That frightens me to depend on the public sector that way. I think we really have to go back and do it the old-fashioned way and hopefully strengthen these private businesses when they come here so that they can make it for the long haul and make sure we get a long-term commitment from them, and a clawback clause is what they call it if they decide they want to pick up and leave early.
Why do we have trouble with the tax base? Isn't this one of the wealthiest cities anywhere?
It is, but you know, our gross receipts tax revenue is way, way, way down. And it's been off for a while. We're running a deficit at the city. If you talk to the chief financial officer, the last report that he made to the finance committee, I believe it was that it was an estimated $4 million deficit that was going to have to be corrected by the end of the fiscal year, which ends on June 30th. And one of my campaign managers, Ed Brown, called and spoke to Mr. Milliken, the finance officer, and he said it could be as much as $10 million by the end of the fiscal year. It's a moving target, and we just don't know.
Let's talk about crime. There's a general problem with certain kinds of crime, although it's not maybe one of the highest crime rate cities on the planet, but we have this particular problem with gangs, with parents of school students being in gangs, young children being recruited into gangs, mm-hmm. house burglaries that have hit, you know, my own family neighborhood, right. And so on. What do you do?
You got to hit it from the top and you got to hit it from the bottom. And our approach is very simple. The first part of it is that we are insufficiently staffed at the police department. We do not have enough police on the street. And this is important regardless of who's committing the crimes. We're fourth in the nation per capita for residential and commercial burglaries combined. That's a shameful statistic for us right now. But 3 years ago when I was city manager, I predicted, and it was on the record, that we were going to be in for a very difficult time if we didn't start staffing up right away. Now, I know that they had some problems of filling some empty positions. They've only created another 4 positions over there for sworn officers since I left. We need, looking at the similar cities in the West that are low density and spread out, we need another 40 to 45 officers just to be able to handle what we have. And our campaign is pushing to go back to community policing, which is well accepted and endorsed by many law enforcement officials around the country and has a lot of supporters here.
And that's it was tried here, and at that time it didn't really work out very well.
That was a leadership issue and I think a buy-in issue by the community. It fizzled on the vine and it died. And I've spoken with former Mayor Jaramillo about this. We had a police officer that was not accepted by the force. There were some leadership issues. Our plan is to have a top brass that is well respected by the force and is well studied in community policing and will embrace the plan that our campaign is trying to set out, which is a combination of uniformed officers on the street, both in cars and on foot and on bicycles, substations strategically placed throughout the city, and that is a good place for officers to do paperwork. It's not a dispatch center. It's a good resting place, and it's a good police presence place in the communities. And finally, to have houses available, workforce housing for the police officers integrated into the community. And we believe we can buy up some existing houses that are in foreclosure to do that.
That leads into the subject in general of affordable housing.
Yes.
How do you deal with that?
Well, we've written a white paper, which is a concept paper, and is posted on our website, which is Kepler, the numeral 4, mayor, all one word, .com. It is about 14 pages, and what it does is it challenges the existing neighborhoods to shoulder the burden of affordable housing, not just the developers, because my sense is that developers have been resistant in large measure when they have challenging terrain in which to build developments. It makes it very difficult to do that 30%. Downtown infill projects, same thing, difficult to do that 30%. And we have an opportunity to really re-energize our neighborhoods and bring them back to the model that they were years ago, which was every socioeconomic group lived in just about every neighborhood. And so it's our hope that we could buy up some existing housing through foreclosure, renovate it for green efficiency, bring our young people in to learn the trade of upgrade and renovation, and apprentice them in that regard, working with the schools. And then do some select infill projects in these neighborhoods, but having it be neighborhood and citizen-driven rather than city-driven. It wouldn't be top-down driven, it would be bottom-up driven. And an example of how this works is Elder Grace. It's a great community that's under construction now here. That was a collaborative effort.
Right, right. So just to clarify, I live in a neighborhood on the west side. How would I participate in affordable housing in my neighborhood?
We would challenge the Neighborhood Association to get a focus group together to work with private designers and city staff, and really have city staff take a backseat role and have the private urban designers or architects take a role in talking to the neighborhood residents and helping them to identify how they would like to help solve this problem. And along the way, what we're encouraging these neighborhoods to do is identify areas that would be ripe for some select infill, to establish small community centers where kids could go after school and it would be staffed by volunteers, perhaps set out a community garden. I mean, the sky's really the limit. The hope is that you'll get a combination of all kinds of housing, including quality rentals, by doing that. Because if you have a little higher density, you avoid urban sprawl, but you also can build in some smaller, more affordable units for those who are either just coming into the workforce or who are retiring.
We're talking to Azeenith Kepler. We've got about 2 minutes left. I wanted to ask you about what happens when a city budget goes down. Where do you make the cuts?
That is a very sensitive issue, but it is something that I know how to do. I managed that budget for close to a year. I have recently received, I'll start with one very good way to do it. I received recently all the contracts under $30,000 and all the contracts over $30,000 that were issued and paid for during a 12-month period. We have more than $3.1 million in contracts under $30,000, some of which go for, I will not say frivolous, but I will say unnecessary services during a recession.
What's an example of that?
Developing a competition program for the Affordable Housing Department. We may not be able to pay somebody outside of City Hall to do that. We may not be able to pay somebody to review, a third-party provider to review whether or not we're operating at maximum efficiency in another department. And those are the other types of contracts that I see. I mean, we're going to have to train ourselves to do a lot of the work that we've been farming out. And the $30,000 a piece contracts are the ones that go under the radar. They're not in front of council for approval, and they add up. As I pointed out, I added them up on my adding machine with the tape, and it exceeded $3 million for 1 year, and that was just the under $30,000 contracts. I'm still adding up the other ones, but I know it's probably, it could be as high as $10 million or more, and I'll be letting the public know when I finish that ad.
Well, we're just about out of time. Azeenith Kepler is running for mayor. Your website is?
Kepler for Mayor. That's the numeral 4, kepler4mayor.com.
Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
We're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back.